Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to have it as an online program. For empty nesters, baby boomers, retirees, not yet retirees, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, during the pandemic, as we all still continue to shelter in, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for each one of us to engage in a virtual setting. Today, we are privileged to welcome back Bonnie Giller to our SPIRIT program. Bonnie is a registered and certified dietitian nutritionist who has worked in medical nutrition therapy and counseling for over 30 years. Bonnie spoke for us in the spring, and you can find her presentation in the SPIRIT archives following this program. Today, she will address how to break free of dieting and trust yourself with food. You should have received a link to the worksheet for today's program earlier by email this morning from OU Synagogue Services, or from the Orthodox Union right after you registered. We will also be putting it into the chat, so you can take the opportunity to print it out now. It's my honor to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Bonnie Giller. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Judy. I'm just gonna take a moment to share my screen so I can pull up my presentation for you. And Judy, if you want to just let me know, do you see my screen?
Yes, I do. Nice and clear.
We're good to go. Okay. So again, thank you so much, Judy, for having me here to speak with you today. And thank you everyone for joining me. This presentation is a very, very important topic and really, truly a passion of mine. We are here to discuss how to break free of dieting and trust yourself with food. Now, as Judy mentioned, there is a worksheet that I've prepared for you. So please, if you have it, if you didn't print it out, go do that, because there are going to be some questions that I ask throughout the presentation, and you'll be able to fill in the answers on the worksheet, as well as some other really helpful information that I share. You may want to jot some notes down. I really have found that this enhances the learning of the participants. Now, while I'm not able to take questions live during this presentation, I am very happy to answer any questions that you might have via email, which I will share with you at the end of today's presentation. So let's just start with, what will you learn today? We're going to learn what the 10 signs are that you're stuck in a diet mentality. I will also explain what diet mentality means. How to respond to the two types of hunger that you experience, and the three kinds of trust that you need to develop to never diet again. So let me start with a question. How many of you are currently on a diet or have ever been on a diet? Just think about how many diets you've been on in your lifetime. Write down that number on the worksheet. Do the diets work? Long-term, that is. Or do you ever think, I eat what foods the diet tells me to, but I still don't lose weight? Or I lose the weight, but I can't keep it off. Why can't I just stick to my diet? How can I get the willpower to say no to temptation? I feel deprived of my favorite foods when I diet. I eventually just give up and I eat them. What is wrong with me? Why do I keep repeating my dieting mistakes? Will I always fail at my diets? Will I ever succeed? These are quotes that I have heard over the years in working with my clients. So what are the thoughts about dieting that swirl around in your mind? Just make a note of those on your worksheet. If you're frustrated with dieting, I want you to know that you're not alone. And I also want you to know the truth. Diets don't work. In fact, the diet industry is purposely set up to have you return as a repeat customer. they encourage you to just follow our advice and the rules of the diet, and you'll lose the weight. So they give you the exact amounts and types of foods to eat and when to eat. So all you have to do is be a good quote unquote rule follower. And when you break the rules, you feel ashamed, disappointed, like a failure. And then they lure you back in to try it again. This time it'll work. They want you to feel like regaining the weight you lost is all your fault. And the only thing to do is go back on the diet again. So think about it. The diet industry is the only industry that gets you to think that you are the problem versus their product. If your iPhone stopped working, would you blame yourself? No, you'd blame Apple. But with the diets, you feel like something is wrong with you. Why can't I just follow it? You say over and over again. And worse yet, some of the diets and recommendations are downright dangerous, leaving you deficient in various nutrients that you really need for good health. And they're just not sustainable. Despite all that, so many people go on one diet after another. And part of the reason is there are fears that come up when you think about giving up dieting. So what are some fears that come up for you if you were to stop dieting? I want you to write those fears down on your worksheet. Some of the common fears that I hear are, I won't stop eating. I don't know how to eat when I'm not dieting. I'll be out of control with food if I don't follow a diet that tells me exactly what to eat. So today you are in the right place. If you've been struggling with your weight for years, even decades, on diet after diet without long-term success. You're afraid to stop dieting because you fear you'll eat out of control. You're also in the right place if you're frustrated and you feel guilty every time you eat something that you deem quote unquote bad for you. You really just don't enjoy the foods that you're eating, but you eat them because you think you should. You think these are the foods that are good for me, but you don't have pleasure in your meals. And if you have pleasure, it comes with a side of guilt. This is also for you if you're down on yourself, you feel that you don't have the quote unquote willpower, and you wonder why you make the same mistakes over and over and over. So whether you're tired of yo-yo dieting or you're tired of feeling guilty whenever you eat and tired of obsessing about food, what I teach you today will give you the roadmap to putting your relationship with food on a direct path to more peace, harmony, and freedom. So before we dig in, I know Judy shared a little bit of my bio, but I just want to share some of my story because there are some important lessons to be learned from it that I would like to share with you. So I have worked in private practice as a registered dietitian nutritionist for over 33 years. And when I first started out as an RD, people wanted me to create these healthy meal plans for them to lose weight. And I did that for many years. But what I came to realize is that these healthy meal plans, they were a diet in disguise, and people weren't getting the sustainable results they really needed. And even though I was an RD, and I understood nutrition, after my fourth child was born, I was juggling a lot personally and professionally, and I struggled with weight gain, lack of energy, and taking care of myself. I created a meal plan for myself because that's what I thought I needed to do to lose the weight and get my energy back. But I quickly realized that I was just creating a diet for myself with food rules. And it was when I finally realized that not only do diets not work, but they're harmful on a physical and mental level, that I realized I had to change my relationship with food. And I realized that I had to stop focusing on diets and meal plans and all the confusing information and messages from diet culture. All of these things only add to the frustration, the overwhelm, and discouraging results. Instead, I discovered that the real key to being at peace with food and my body was to develop one thing, trust. Today, I'm going to show you how to start trusting yourself in three key areas so you can say goodbye to diets forever and start loving the body that you're in. One of the biggest challenges of the chronic dieter is that they don't have trust. They don't trust themselves with food. They don't trust that they know what to eat if they're not following a diet. And they don't trust that they know when to eat if they're not following a diet. And they don't trust to know how much to eat if they're not following a diet. Do you feel the same way? As a chronic dieter, do you trust yourself to determine what, when, and how much to eat? Why do you think it's so difficult to trust yourself to make these decisions around food? You've been dieting for what seems like forever, and deep down you want to stop and become an intuitive eater, someone who eats in response to their physiological signals of hunger and fullness, not due to situations they're in or emotions they're feeling. But here's why you haven't been able to. It's because you've lost the trust in yourself and in your ability to make food decisions about food. But here's the thing, you were born with this trust. You were born an intuitive eater. It's been chipped away at over time from all the years of dieting. So if dieting doesn't work, how do you get that healthy body without dieting? The answer is trust. That's what we've been talking about. When you develop trust with yourself and food, you can break free of dieting and live life to the fullest. I just want to give you a moment to digest that. I'd like to say that again. When you develop trust with yourself and food, you can break free of dieting and live life to the fullest. So by the end of today's presentation, I'm going to show you how to develop this trust. I call it whole body trust. So you can become an intuitive eater for life and finally break free of dieting. There are three key pillars of whole body trust. And I put together a step-by-step system. I implemented it into my life first before introducing it to my clients. And it was amazingly freeing. I no longer followed a meal plan, nor did I feel deprived of foods that I may have wanted. I trusted myself with food. And now that's what I do. I help chronic dieters do the same thing through this process I'm teaching you today. And I'm blown away by the results. And I promise you, as part of today's talk, I'm going to share some stories with you, not only to teach you how this works and how you can do this too, but to inspire you that I know you can do this as well. Now, I have been researching and speaking with intuitive eaters for a long time, and they all have one thing in common. I'm going to tell you what that is at the end of this presentation, so please make sure to stay with me to the end. Now, let us dig in to the three pillars of whole body trust. Pillar number one is mind trust. In order to break free of dieting, you need to trust your thoughts and beliefs about food, eating, and your body. Your mind enables you to be aware of the world and your experiences, to think and to feel. Yet there are often mindset blocks and limiting beliefs that prevent you from making the best decisions for yourself. And in order to have mind trust, you need to discover what these mindset blocks and limiting beliefs are that keep you in a dieter's mentality. It seems as if every other day, there's a new diet craze that hits the market. Some stay around for a while and some fade out pretty quickly. So let's face it, by now you know better than to keep falling for every fad that comes along. Diets have a high failure rate. In fact, did you know that study after study shows that dieting is actually a strong predictor for weight gain? Yes, here's what the research shows us, that 95 to 97% of all dieters regain their lost weight within 1 to 5 years. And a third to two-third of those gain back more than they've lost. And the 3 to 5% who are able to maintain their weight loss usually do so with disordered eating behaviors and extreme exercise. And these are very alarming statistics. So clearly diets don't work. Not only that, they're harmful. Why? Because repeated yo-yo dieting and weight cycling is you lose, you gain, you lose, you gain, you lose, you gain. That has been shown to have negative health effects, including an increased risk of heart disease and long-lasting effects on your metabolism, just to name a few. But above all, diets are harmful because they erode the trust in each of the three pillars I'm teaching you today. So again, if diets don't work and they're harmful, why do people do it over and over again? We go back to the same thing. One moment. That you downright don't trust yourself. Now, I just wanted to share, before I get to that next slide about diet mentality, I just wanted to share something that I hear quite often. And you tell me if that resonates with you. Bonnie, I just don't trust myself to let myself eat what I want to. I hear that all the time. So learning to trust yourself and your own thoughts about food is one of the hardest things to ask a dieter to do. And I realize that. But it is most important. Otherwise, you're going to stay on this roller coaster that you're on and go nowhere fast. So the diet have eroded the trust in yourself. And as a dieter, you have what we call a diet mentality. So what is a diet mentality? It's one in which you have a list of foods that you label allowed or not allowed. You label foods as good or bad, can eat or can't eat. You think in terms of being on your diet or off your diet or having a good day or having a bad day. You say, I messed up, so I'll just eat what I want. I'll start again tomorrow or I'll start again on Monday. You follow the rules that you're given on the particular diet you're choosing to follow at that moment. Rules, rules, rules. And there are dieting voices that make up your diet mentality. So for example, the food police voice. Well, that sets impossible rules for you, such as you ate a large lunch, you better skip dinner, or don't eat that roll, it's bad for you. It has too many carbs. And when you break the rules of the food police, because inevitably you do, you start with the negative self-talk and body bashing. You begin to think in terms of all or nothing, black and white. You can either eat it or you can't. You've been good or you've been bad. All of which affects your body image and causes you to dwell on the parts of your body that you don't like, which just fuels the cycle of dieting. Now, these voices, they're destructive. This way of thinking is detrimental to your movement forward. And that's why it is imperative to work on changing the tape of these destructive voices that play over and over again in your head. So I'd like to do an exercise together that will help you understand a bit about your diet mentality. I'm going to show you 10 keys that indicate a diet mentality. And if you answer yes to two or more, then you are likely struggling with a diet mentality, and it's important information to have. So if you don't have a pen and a paper handy, go ahead and grab one because you're going to want to take note on which questions you answer yes to. Are we ready? All right. 10 keys that indicate a diet mentality. Number one, have you followed diets in the past or present where you were required to count anything, whether that be calories or points or carb grams? And I don't mean carbs in relation to if you have diabetes. I'm talking about intentional weight loss. Two, do you have a list of foods that you label can have, can't have, legal, illegal? Three, do you feel guilty, ashamed, or angry at yourself when you eat something that you feel you shouldn't have? Four, do you wish you had more willpower to stick to your diet? Five, do you feel like a failure when you fall off track and you can't get back on? Six, Do you trust yourself to tell yourself when, what, and how much to eat? 7, do you really believe that you'll be able to change your relationship with food? 8, are there some issues or past traumas that maybe you haven't dealt with and thus you're not able to make behavioral changes? For example, there are some women who self-sabotage to stay in a larger body in order to be unattractive due to a situation of abuse. So the cycle of dieting helps them avoid the real issues. 9, have you had a time when you were doing real well and then bam, you self-sabotaged your progress? And 10, does the battle with your weight keep you from addressing other areas or issues of your life? So how many of these 10 questions did you answer yes to? Write that down on your worksheet. Again, if more than 2, chances are you're struggling with a diet mentality. And if you are, I'm showing you tonight, today, how you can get out of it. And the way to get out of it is to build trust in these 3 key areas that we're talking about. So how do you start trusting yourself around food? By becoming an intuitive eater. So being an intuitive eater means that you don't have a list of foods you can and cannot eat. You don't have a list of rules that tell you the what, the when, and the how much to eat. It means you rely on your internal hunger and fullness signals to determine when, what, and how much to eat. You eat for physical reasons and not emotional reasons. You give yourself unconditional permission to eat when you're hungry, what food you desire. And when you do this, you will see that you will not overeat because it's not a matter of being good or bad. And if I was bad already, I might as well finish it off because, you know, I'll start again tomorrow. You have full trust in yourself. It's an incredible sense of relief to give yourself this permission without the worry of overeating and allow yourself to enjoy guilt-free eating. By learning to trust your own mind, you are opening yourself up to reclaiming what you were born with, and that is being an intuitive eater. Now, if you've heard of intuitive eating, you may have tried intuitive eating in the past and you think to yourself, well, it didn't work. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking it can't work. The truth is that a lot of intuitive eating programs turn it into another diet because they don't solve the number one key you need to get results, mind trust. I just want to share a story with you about Liz. So Liz came to me after 40 plus years of dieting and struggling to lose weight. She tried multiple diets over and over again. She finally got tired of counting points and being deprived of eating the foods she loved, having to eat differently than her family was eating, and having to watch and account for everything she ate. Well, Liz encountered intuitive eating on her own, and she was trying to implement the principles of intuitive eating, yet she still struggled, and she was not able to identify her hunger and fullness signals, which was silenced from many years of ignoring them. So we started working together and realized that her struggles were due in fact to that she still harbored a diet mentality, although she thought she left that behind. We worked on shifting her mindset and developing mind trust. And now Liz says the change away from the dieter's mindset is allowing me to realize that I can eat, is allowing me to focus on learning my body's signals for hunger and fullness. It has also allowed me to realize that I can eat the foods I love and focus on listening to what my body really wants. In this way, I am finding that I am satisfied with less. That's what Liz said. And the mindset shift was so empowering to her, and she is now giving herself permission to eat without feeling any guilt and without following a set of rules that someone else told her to follow. So for you, start by looking at your own diet mindset. You need to be clear on your current mindset so you know how to make this shift. Okay, so this might sound scary to you. It's amazing, however, how powerful your mindset can be in determining your success in anything in life. This is especially true for you if you're a chronic dieter. The way you think about yourself and your body is a large factor in the results you achieve or don't. And that's why I work very closely with my clients in my Whole Body Trust program to uncover these mindset blocks and limiting beliefs. By successfully shifting your mindset and rejecting your diet mentality, you're essentially giving up dieting. Okay, so pillar number one is mind trust. Again, uncovering your mindset blocks and limiting beliefs is a crucial ingredient and first step if you really want to finally give up dieting and become an intuitive eater. So first pillar, mind trust. What is pillar number two? Pillar number two is hunger trust. So what in the world is hunger trust? It's hearing the hunger signals that your body is giving you and being able to understand what that signal means. So there are two kinds of signals, and you have to be able to differentiate between the two. The first one is physical hunger, and the second is emotional hunger. Dieters often cannot distinguish between the two. Now, we will get into both kinds in just a minute, but first, let's just talk about listening to your body's signals. As a dieter, you aren't listening to what your body's inner signals of hunger are saying to you, or if you are, you're not responding. You've been eating the foods the diets tell you to eat, the amounts of food that the pre-planned menus and diets list as portion sizes, as well as when to eat, right? The diets tell you when to eat, as if they know what's right for you, regardless if you're hungry or not. When you stop listening, those signals go silent, and you can only hear the hunger when you are ravenous. And when you begin eating in a ravenous state, all bets are off that you're going to choose foods that don't really feel so good for you. They don't feel good in your body. And you know what? You will eat past comfortable fullness. You generally will walk away stuffed when you begin your meal in that ravenous state. If you don't start eating when you are biologically hungry, gently, the first signs of hunger, you cannot stop eating when you're biologically comfortably full. And that continues to chip away at your hunger trust. But once you learn how to listen for and honor your hunger and fullness signals, you will learn to trust your body once again and will absolutely begin to take charge of your eating by knowing when to start and when to stop. You will begin to trust that your body will not let you down. You know why I know this? Because it's not you that has failed on all those diets you were on. It's the diets that have failed you. As you develop hunger trust, your body will learn to trust you too. Okay, so now that we understand the importance of listening to your body signals, let's talk about the two kinds of hunger signals that your body sends you. Physical hunger and emotional hunger. So physical hunger is a signal your body gives you when your energy is low and you need fuel. It could be you having some butterflies in your stomach or a gentle grumble or a growl. Emotional hunger is when you're experiencing uncomfortable emotions that trigger you to feel the need to fill up some kind of void, or maybe even a way to cope with emotions and to numb yourself. Have you ever turned to food as a way of dealing with your emotions? The key to dealing with emotional hunger is to be able to identify what you are feeling in that moment and what you truly need. And to do that, you must become a priority in your life and make sure that you are meeting your basic needs of self-care and that you have a circle of support. See, you generally probably wear many hats in your everyday life. all too often, you're so busy tending to the needs of others that you frequently forget to take care of yourself. Or maybe you just put your own needs on the back burner. And if you do take the time, I bet you feel some guilt afterwards. So while you realize maybe that, you know what, this is what I need at this given moment, I need to take a break, I need to rest for 20 minutes, you don't honor yourself and your needs if somebody is asking you to do something and it has to be done now. Most often, nothing would happen if they waited 20 minutes while you tended to your own needs. But here's what happens. You help the other person out, you make that phone call, you take care of the errand for somebody. And when you finally sit down, you're resentful, you're frustrated, you end up even eating, even though maybe you're not hungry. You're not physically hungry. Maybe you're even rewarding yourself for, you know, a hard day. So you're rewarding with food. I just want you to realize that if you don't take care of yourself, you really won't have that much to give to others. So you need to start shifting your thinking and prioritize your health and well-being. And when you do, you become much more productive and truly present in the many roles that you hold. And then when you feel good physically and mentally and emotionally, you're able to bring more to all that you do. And yes, your family, your friends, your loved ones, they will very much appreciate it. Now, an important part of self-care is making sure that you have the right support surrounding you. Having a strong support system can play a huge role in maintaining a successful and consistent journey. With determination, a positive attitude, and the right people behind you, your chances of reaching your goals are much more likely. Remember, communication is key. I am big on communication. Be specific in your request for help from whoever's in your support network. No one gives or receives help in the same way. So say exactly.
And listen better than sitting in the house and doing the Zoom meeting.
Okay, so say exactly what you need. Begin to make yourself a priority in your life, renew your energy, revitalize your spirit, and I promise you, you'll be able to continue to provide for others, but from a place of abundance. So when you banish diets and develop hunger trust on your way towards becoming an intuitive eater, you will be eating in response to your inner signals, which will guide your eating. So regaining hunger trust is an especially important step on your intuitive eating journey. It's crucial for you to begin to relearn about your body from the inside out. To listen to when your body is saying, I'm hungry, and realize it's okay to eat if you're truly hungry, even if you ate 2 hours ago. The feeling of hunger is normal and natural. It means your body's working. To recognize when you've had enough, not to eat because you feel entitled to the amount of food that's on your plate. So you know what, I'm gonna eat every morsel of this because the diet, this is the entitlement. This is what the diet tells me to eat. So I'm gonna finish it, even if I'm no longer hungry. To honor your body by learning to deal with your feelings and emotions without numbing out with food. This is regaining hunger trust. And it is why it is so important. And I teach my clients how to listen to their inner body wisdom as the guide to eating so that you're eating what your body needs. So again, another story to inspire you, Beatrice. So Beatrice started working with me. And one of the things we identified almost immediately was her lack of self-care. So she ran a very highly successful business and she actually helped her clients reach number one in the industry. Yet she couldn't help herself in the area of her relationship with food. She was struggling to know when she was really physically hungry for food or just numbing herself with food. And once we worked through the areas of self-care that were lacking, Beatrice was able to move her self-care to the front burner. And now she says, I'm able to do two things. I'm able to take time to do self-care activities without feeling like it's a waste of productive time. And I see how grounded I am at the end of the day. And this has also allowed me to recognize when my body is telling me I'm physically hungry versus the need to soothe an uncomfortable emotion. Wow, it has been a huge shift for her and has allowed her to successfully move forward on her journey. So pillar number two is hunger trust. And in order to cultivate hunger trust, you must become a priority in your life so you can begin to listen for and hear your hunger, whether it's true physical hunger or identify if it's emotional hunger and know how to honor it. Okay, pillar number one is mind trust. Pillar number two is hunger trust. It is time for the third pillar. But before we do that, I always like to do a little recap. So far, we've talked about cultivating mind trust by discovering the mindset blocks you have so you can disempower your limiting beliefs and change those destructive voices that play in your head. And we've talked about achieving hunger trust by distinguishing between physical and emotional hunger and knowing how to respond to each, either with eating a nourishing meal if it's a physical hunger, or with self-care or seeking support if it's emotional hunger. And once you implement these two pillars, you're going to feel some sense of freedom that you're no longer bound by your diet. You're starting to truly hear your own body's signals. But yet, you are still struggling with what food to eat. And this brings us to pillar number three on your path to reclaiming whole body trust. So pillar number three is food trust. So what do I mean by this? Let me answer that question by first asking you a question. What do diets really do? Well, diets set you up with the guilt response. Plain and simple, dieting makes you preoccupied with food and causes you to have feelings of guilt when you eat something you're not supposed to eat because it's not on your diet. Restriction of certain foods promotes an obsession with eating those foods. When food is taken away from you or restricted, especially food you love, it sets you up to obsess over that food and eventually engage in what we call rebound eating. There is only so much time that you will resist your beloved chocolate or cheesecake or fill in the blank. And when you give in, you're just going to consume a large amount, in essence, binging on it. And then you say, you see, I can't be trusted eating chocolate or cheesecake. The guilt and the shame causes you to lose total trust in yourself, your body, and the foods you choose over and over again. But food trust enables you to take charge of your own nutrition decisions and know that these choices you are making for yourself are unique for your body and are right for you so you can live a healthy and beautiful life. So let me ask you, where do you get your nutrition advice from? Oprah, Dr. Oz, the internet, the guy in the health food store, a magazine, your hairdresser? By relying on diets and what others, such as celebrity doctors or self-made gurus, tell you to eat, is not honoring your inner wisdom and is keeping you on the diet roller coaster. You see, there are two problems with this. Problem number one is nutrition overwhelm. There is so much confusing information out there about nutrition. It's difficult to know what is accurate and what is not. So you've tried it all, but you still feel lost. If any of this resonates with you, go ahead and shake your head. And please know that you're not alone. A lot of dieters struggle with this because they don't know how to eat if they're not on a diet or they're not told how to eat. You must have a reliable source that you can trust to educate you on nutrition. But ultimately, you are in the driver's seat in making your own food decisions. And for this, you need food trust. So Sarah came into my office one day, finally fed up with dieting. And she told me that she tried every diet imaginable and every diet told her different foods to eat and not to eat. Eat carbs, don't eat carbs. Never eat dairy. Only eat protein. No, eat only plant-based. Do you resonate with that? She was so confused. She had no idea how to eat and didn't trust herself to make her own food choices. So we started working together by unraveling the dieting messages that she's received so she can develop mind trust. The next step was to help her attune to her hunger and fullness signals. And when she was able to have full trust in them, we moved into developing food trust. And now she no longer listens to others as to what to eat. She listens to the messages of her body. Now, problem number two of relying on diets is you eat what others tell you to eat. And when you do this, you're not honoring your own food preferences. And oftentimes, you're eating what you think you should, not really what you love. You may like it, it may be okay, but it's not truly satisfying. And then later in the evening, you're on the prowl for food. Can you relate to that? I know a lot of my clients do. And this is where pillar number three, food trust, comes in. When you take charge of your food choices with the proper nutrition guidance, not Dr. Google, you are the one that makes the decisions of what to eat. And you can fully trust those decisions. You will find at that point, you will be choosing lighter, healthier foods, but not because you think you should or because someone else is telling you to, but because you feel good doing so. Now, at this point in the process, the intuitive eater within you has awakened and you are ready to learn about nutrition. You're ready to hear it and you hear it from an intuitive eater's ear, not a dieter's ear. This pillar allows you to feel empowered and to take charge of your food choices to support a healthy life. You are in the driver's seat and can personalize your nutrition for what feels best in your body. So I just want to take a moment and make sure that you understand, while food trust is the third pillar that I teach to reclaim whole body trust, and while I certainly can teach you and my clients nutrition at the very beginning of the process, it's not going to serve anyone well until you develop mind trust and hunger trust. In fact, I will say, all these quote unquote meal plans and nutrition information that you've been seeking and following are actually harming you more than helping you, because they continue to cause you to lose trust in yourself, as all that information about nutrition just becomes another set of rules that tightens the ropes instead of giving you real freedom from dieting and food worry. Does that make sense? I really want to be sure you understand that point. Now, you might be thinking, I just can't imagine trusting myself around food. And so I shared with a few of my clients that I was giving this presentation today. And one of my clients, Gerda, she had asked me to share this story with you. So I've worked with and I continue to work with Gerda in my Whole Body Trust program. And she says the following. And again, she asked me to share this story with you. I remember vividly how I used to be tortured, tempted, and called by food. How I could not stop eating and cannot say no to anything sweet and soft. How I ate with a feverishness that did not allow me to stop. How I ate until my stomach ached and I was scared it might burst, but still could not stop. It seemed like a deep, dark secret, but for all to see. I was successful in every aspect of my life except my eating and my weight. I could not make sense of it. And numerous times it tumbled me into a severe depression. Now I experience a calm and peace with food that I never would have thought possible. In this last week, two incidences highlighted the change for me. A neighbor kindly delivered 4 freshly baked scones on Monday. So on Monday evening, I broke off about a quarter of one, had it with some butter, and had no desire to have any more. On Wednesday, another neighbor delivered 4 pieces of a local sweet delicacy. Again, I broke off about a third, ate it and enjoyed it, and have no desire to have any more. This is what is meant by trusting myself and having freedom with eating and food. I'm 73 years old now. I always hoped that I would have a few years of not being governed by food and eating. And now I have it, and I can enjoy my body and my life. So I just wanted to share that story because when she sent that to me, it was so inspiring. Dieting doesn't work, especially in the long run. And not only that it's harmful, but if you want to break free of dieting and love your body and feel great about yourself and live your life to the fullest, then you need to learn how to trust yourself in these three key areas. All right, let's just recap the three pillars of whole body trust. This is the transformation that you need to make, and here's what's possible for you when you embody all three types of trust. Mind trust. Having mind trust allows you to throw away the diet rules and food restrictions, to bust through your limiting beliefs and realize that you did not fail, the diets have failed you. And so having a diet mindset, you would say, I need a diet to know what and how much to eat. But having mind trust, you say, I'm capable of making my own food decisions. Do you see how powerful that is? Hunger trust. Having hunger trust allows you to know the difference between physical and emotional hunger and how to respond to each with full trust. So if you have a diet mindset, you say something like, I have to eat based on the clock or a plan. But having hunger trust, you say, I am able to identify when my body is telling me I'm physically hungry. And food trust. Having food trust allows you to know that the nutrition decisions you're making for yourself are unique for your body and are right for you, so you can live a healthy, beautiful life. So a dieting mindset, well, you'd say some foods are bad, I can't eat them. But with food trust, you say, I'm capable of choosing the foods that feel right for me. All three of these pillars are important. By developing trust in these three pillars, you will learn how to tune into the wisdom of your body so you can enjoy eating again and live your life to the fullest. So these pillars are so powerful in helping you put an end to food and body worry so you can enjoy a new relationship with food. And I've been helping my clients with this for many, many years. So what would it feel like for you to not have any trigger foods, to be able to keep potato chips or cookies or cake or chocolate or more in your home without a fear that you will eat the whole bag, that you'll be able to have one, two, or three and just walk away? No guilt, no shame, no remorse. This is what I promised to share with you earlier when I said stay with me, because this is what all intuitive eaters have in common: no more trigger foods. And Samantha says it really clearly. I could have Oreos in the house and I don't even remember they're there. If I want one, I have one. I move on with my day. So wouldn't you like to have these foods in your house, not think about them all the time, have one or two if you desire and walk away or not? So just think about it. How much of your day is spent thinking about food and your body? How much brain space is taken up each day with food and body worry? What could you do with your time, your life, if you were free of dieting thoughts and worries? How would your life change if you didn't have to think about your weight day in and day out? If you didn't get on the scale every morning or multiple times a day, only for it to determine if you were going to be in a good mood or a bad day, or in a good mood or in a bad mood that day? It means you can open yourself up to different experiences that you've always wanted to do. You'll have space to focus on other things, a new hobby, hopefully one day traveling again, maybe a relationship, meeting new people. Just imagine what it would be like to never diet again, to eat what you want and not be afraid of food, to no longer bash your body, to feel good in your body, to trust yourself, to trust your body, to trust your food choices, and yes, to be healthy, both physically and mentally. Wouldn't your life be a whole lot easier? How would it make you feel? Maybe write that down on your worksheet. Think of the vision of life without the food worry, without the body worry. It's all possible for you. I really do hope that this information was helpful for you. If you've been a chronic dieter, if you've been dieting for years, like I said, many times, decades, I'm hoping that something I said today sparked something in you. And if so, and you really want help to put dieting behind you, I do have a special invitation just because you're on this presentation today. It is a complimentary Break Free of Dieting call with me. And we'll go through, we'll look at the challenges that you're facing and with your relationship with food and your body. We'll clarify how to integrate the three pillars I'm teaching you today so you can reclaim home body trust. And then we'll determine if perhaps working together to help you and support you is something you're interested in. If you'd like to take me up on that offer, you just need to go to talkwithbonnie.com. If you don't see a time on my calendar that works for you, just email me and we'll figure that out together. In addition to that, I have an ebook for you. It's a free download, six steps to a body you love without dieting. It's an ebook. And it's a free download at dietfreezone.com. And some other resources for you that we will also email to you. My website, where you can learn everything about intuitive eating and emotional eating, is at dietfreeradiantme.com. For those of you who are on Facebook, I have a free Facebook group for support for women. It's at intuitiveeatinggroup.com. And there's my email, bonnie@dietfreeradiantme.com. So if you have any questions, please feel free to email me. Like I said, this is a passion of mine to help you really learn to trust yourself and to just break free of the prison and the chains of dieting and really come back to the way you were born, which is an intuitive eater. Thank you so much.
Bonnie, thank you so much. This was wonderful. I think we all learned a lot. There was one question that came to me that I'm not sure if you could answer. Somebody wants to know, what if you eat when you're bored? I assume that comes under the emotional component.
Yes, that absolutely, boredom eating is one of the most common yet subtle forms of emotional eating. So while boredom eating doesn't necessarily sound like it's an emotion, the outcome is typically the same, where you end up eating or numbing or overeating or mindlessly eating. So it is a component of emotional eating.
Thank you so much. Everybody, of course, you know that all the materials that Bonnie mentioned, you'll be receiving later on in the recording. That will be coming out probably not from my email address. It will be coming out from OU Synagogue Services. We thank our administrator, Allison Mapira, who will be sending that to you later on today. So you can look for that. A few people were saying to me they didn't get it the other day, that they registered, but I'm sure they did. You just have to look in the right place in your emails. Okay, on Thursday, we'll be having a program with Toby Weiss from MJHS, Accessing Healthcare Resources When Facing Serious Illness. So you'll be getting that registration later on with the recording today. So before we leave, I just want to note an error I made in last week's closing remarks. And it happened because I violated Rena Yudkowsky's multitasking rule. Of course, you all remember Rena, who has done so many memory programs for us, and she'll be coming back next week for yet another one. When I wished everyone a Chodesh Tov, I was looking ahead to spirit programs for next month on my calendar, which I shouldn't have been doing. So I saw Adar and wished you a happy Rosh Chodesh Adar at the end of the program. Well, I hope you all enjoyed a wonderful Rosh Chodesh Shvat last Thursday, and we'll have a joyous month in Shvat before we get to Adar. So it always pays to listen to our presenters because they all have very good strategies. Be well, have a great day, be safe. See you Thursday. Bonnie, thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you.